Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Did you enjoy the worship?
Yeah.
Come on, would you give it up for the team? Hallelujah. You did such a great job. Honored to have them. I know that God had blessed me with an opportunity years ago with your pastor, John David Meiser, and just growing up in youth ministry together, and we had the opportunity to work with Davey Thompson, Israel. I minister at their church a lot down in Surreal, Oklahoma. These guys are local, but they did such a phenomenal job this morning to get us into the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Man, we need times like that when we can just shake off the things of this world, the world system that seems to attach itself to us, and come into the presence of God corporately. There is a huge thing about that. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, good morning. It's so glad to, I'm glad to be here. Let's give it up and give some honor to your pastors this morning and their family. Hallelujah. He served you guys for 20 years of the 25. 20 years he's been here serving. You guys were serving. I was talking to Pastor Corey just a little bit about that this morning, about when they first came here, the children were little. They were new and young, and man, just a lot to take on. But haven't they did such a phenomenal job here at New Heights Church?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You guys deserve the honor. You deserve the honor. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm honored to be here. Also want to give honor today to Pastor Darren and his wife. Where are you guys at? I know you're here somewhere. There you are right there. Lord bless you. It's good to see you here this morning. First time I ever came here, Pastor Darren was the pastor. And I believe John David was the youth minister at that time. And we had a great time together. He trusted us enough to take a group from this church to Mexico. And had an awesome trip there. And came home, and everybody still had their fingers and toes. And listen, that's a big deal when you go on a mission trip. So, amen. Glad to be here. Happy 25. Happy 25. Come on, that's worth celebrating. 25 years for the church. And, you know, we heard a little bit of the background last night talking to your pastors of just how the church came about. And even some of you members, I remember talking to you about some of the background of the church. And some of you charter members, who's the charter members here? I see one of them. Is there anybody else? Raise up your hand. Charter members of this church for 25 years. Amen. You've seen a lot, haven't you? You've seen a lot. It's an amazing thing. My wife, I think, is watching. She couldn't be here this morning. She just had a knee surgery, and they replaced part of her knee on the left side, and she's still trying to get around. She's coming into her fourth month, which is so good. She's doing well. But if she's watching right now, I want to say, hi, baby. I love you. I think she's watching. She said she would be. So she just gives you her greetings. Amen. 25 years. I want to go into this for just a moment because I felt like the Spirit of the Lord had put this on my heart as we get into the Word this morning. 25 years. In the Hebrew and the Greek, every word has a numeric value to it. And so when you go and you begin to look at that, the number 25 would break down into two numbers. According to Jewish thought, the number 20 means redemption. And the number 5 means grace multiplied. So when you put that together, pastors, 25 is grace upon grace. And I declare that over this body this morning, that 25 is a good number. It's a quarter of a century. But I believe that what God is showing me today for you all is you're entering into a new season of grace upon grace. Hallelujah. That God is going to open up new beginnings for you. You have a lot to look back on, a lot of good things to look back on. Thank God for memories. God is good and He's faithful. Amen. But today we're not just here to look back at the 25, but we're here today to look forward to the next 25, to wherever God wants to take us this morning and for our futures. And I just declare over you that this is a season of new beginning. For some of you, I declare that over you, that this is a season of new beginning. In the Bible, in Haggai and Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Word of God talks about the glory of the temple. And every one of those prophets talked about that the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. And of course, we understand that through the New Testament teachings of the Word, that we're not just talking about the building. The building doesn't need the glory of God as much as our temple here. This building, by God's hand, needs the glory of God. And I'm speaking that prophetically over you this morning, that the glory of God in your life will be greater for your family in the latter than it has been in the former. How many received that this morning? May the glory of God do something great for you. We're living in dark times today, aren't we? We're living in some pretty dark times. However, God has made us the light of the world for such a time as this, JP. For such a time as this. So let's get into the Word. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And as you're looking at that, and I know that you guys have been studying up to this, and so I was asked to take on from that, and really glad that you did that, because God really began to speak to me about some things of what the Word of God was saying here that ties into your church and this family. So when we look into this book, as the book of Joshua opens, we see the Israelites, and they are camped out at the eastern side of the River Jordan. Jericho and what we now know as the Promised Land, Canaan Land, is just on the other side. But the people there, the Israelites that came out of Egypt 39 years before that, they're camped out on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And what they're doing, honestly, is they're mourning the death of Moses. You got all these people, there's 2 million plus people there, according to Bible history, 2 million plus people, and they're all mourning the death of Moses, which he was their former leader. And I'm going to tell you something. According to the Bible, he was a great leader. He was a great leader. He was an intercessor. Come on, somebody. You read the Old Testament. When God wasn't happy with the children of Israel, Moses was interceding for them, saying, God, don't kill them. Don't kill them. Like, you know, and we understand that when, you know, that God is not a killer, but yet we find ourselves under the umbrella of his protection. And when we get outside of that umbrella of the protection of God by complaining and mocking and all of that kind of stuff, hallelujah, we need an intercessor. That's why we have pastors. Because they intercede for us. Aren't you grateful that you have a pastor that can be a leader and an intercessor for you? You know what? I believe that your pastors are interceding for you when you don't know it. Think about that for a second. 39 years of tests and trials in what we know as the wilderness, from the Exodus, the freedom out of Egypt. And here's this new generation of people, which, by the way, let me tell you, most of this new generation is not only mourning Moses, but they're mourning their parents and their grandparents. Because along the way, that last 40 years, many of them have passed away. So you got all this new generation that is sitting on the side, camping on the side of the eastern river of Jordan. And it's in this time of sadness and feeling of loss that God began to call Joshua into his orders. Now we know, you studied it in the book of Numbers, when God had told Moses to ordain Joshua for the next leadership and all, but it's in this time of loss and sadness and seemingly tragedy that God institutes the vision of taking them into the promised land. I don't want that to slip you by this morning, because listen, we're living in a day where it seems like there's sadness and loss and sorrow and all of these things that we're living around today. We have little to no hope in our government system and everything else, but I'm here to tell you it is time that God is calling us in to a season of promise more than ever before. When it's the darkest, our light shines the brightest. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
The only reason the Israelites out of Egypt didn't enter to the promise way before that time is because they failed to trust God. They disobeyed. I mean, Moses brought them to the mountain of God where they could meet the presence of God. And it freaked them out so bad, and they complained about everything. They complained about they wanted to go back to Egypt and you know, at least we had a home instead of a tent, or at least we had a place and we could provide our own food or whatever. Instead of having to trust God that manna would fall from the sky and water come out of a rock. And they became disobedient. Listen to me, church. Our obedience is a form of trusting God. And today, more than ever before, God is calling us to a place of obedience. Obedience to His will. Obedience to His Spirit. Because when He sees that in us, He knows we're trusting Him. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that?
Yes.
Ben, I remember in my life the story of obedience, of how we got to where we are today. Back in the late 80s. And I know I don't look this old, but back in the late 80s, we were doing evangelism. We started out evangelizing the nation. We were all the way in California, booking revival meetings, and all the way to California and back to Oklahoma. And I'm in California, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, stop booking meetings. Well, for an evangelist, that's our income. I was full time. I mean, I had two sons, and they were small, and my wife, and we were living in a club Ford wagon and a 33-foot travel trailer, Pastor John David. And when God says, I don't want you to book any more meetings, I'm thinking, what's going on? Got back into Oklahoma the first of 1992, and the Lord just, I don't even know how it came about, but God spoke to me to go to Bible college in Tulsa area, Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I didn't even know what Rhema was. I don't even think I'd ever heard of Kenneth Hagin before that. But somewhere between California and Oklahoma, with no income, God says, if you'll go, I'll make a way. And so we literally came back to Oklahoma, began to prepare, didn't know where our tuition would come from, didn't know how we were going to live in Broken Arrow, but out of that obedience, God made a way. Come on, somebody. From Rhema Bible Training Center, we became youth pastors, student pastors in Edmond, Oklahoma. Ended up in Edmond, and we were there 10 years. Had a steady income. I mean, the church took good care of us, and it was a wonderful time. That's where I met your pastors, and David Thompson, and Camp Bond, and just some amazing times. But then God spoke to us around that last of that 10 years and said, I want you to quit because I've got a new work for you. Listen, when you've got a steady income coming in, the last thing you want to hear God say is, I want you to quit. But obedience is trust. And so I trusted God. We came back into evangelism, but I didn't know that out of that evangelism, God was going to start using us in missionary. Because listen, all along, God was setting us up to do missionary work to the world. Right now, we're building a Bible college in Uganda, Africa. And we're training nationals, African nationals, to become missionaries to go up into the 1040 window and take the gospel into all these unreached areas. Listen, I didn't know that at that time, but every time God said, I want you to do this, obedience became a form of trust for God to get me to my destiny. And every one of us in this room have a destiny from God. We have a purpose, a God-given purpose. And God needs you to obey and listen to His voice. Because every step of the way that you obey, your trust is leading you to the destiny that God has for you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Most of the time when you're moving with God, faith and obedience is not easy. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But it's the way to success that matters the most. So look in Joshua chapter 1. And let's read verses 1 through 2 right now. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them and to the people of Israel. Father, I thank you, Lord, that for the next few moments, your word will speak into our lives, God, as never before. That by that unction, Lord God, you will minister to us. Lord, that you will speak into our lives, that you will increase our faith, you will expand our vision, you will increase the influence that we will have in our communities, God. I pray for the glory, I pray for the manifestation of your presence in this place, God. Because we know without the shadow of a doubt, your promises are just ahead of us. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. Amen. So I've got this picture of this younger generation in mourning on the eastern side of the Jordan, feeling like their journey has ended. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, feeling like that because they have lost their leader, their journey is over. You know, I've had some leaders in my time. I had a pastor that was out of Duncan, Oklahoma, that came up and pastored us in Oklahoma City. It's where I became born again for the first time. And that guy never missed a week that he didn't call me to check on me and see how things were doing. 36 years of my life is how long we've been doing ministry. And every week he would call me and say, David, how you doing? What can I help you with? And he just passed away in the last couple of years. And I'm going to tell you something. Man, when that happens, you miss something. You miss something. And I picture these young people that are in the desert and wilderness when Moses passed away. And listen, I'm just here to tell you, people can have good intentions and they can know a good promise that is for their future and they can know the will of God. But sometimes without a leader, they don't know how to get there. Without good leadership, they don't know how to get there. They don't know how they're going to be guided through, or they almost feel lost. Moses was a voice for God, and he led them well. But now it's time for a new leader. Amen. And so what happens is that the timing became everything for Joshua. They've been camped out, but now it's time to go in. It's time to cross over. You know, I've been to the Jordan River. Matter of fact, I baptized over 100 people in the Jordan River right there on the other side of where Jericho is a few years back. Since then, they have discovered some of what they believe to be some of the walls of Jericho where that all happened. What an honor it was to baptize people in that river, in that spot. But listen, I'm putting myself back in this day and time. And that this was a time when the Lord was coming to Joshua saying, listen, now is the time for you to arise and lead these people. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
25 years. 25 years. of great events, but it's a beginning of a new era. I want that to sink in today. I felt by the Spirit of the Lord, that is a word for this body of believers and your families. Some of your marriages, some of your children and your grandchildren. Let this be a point of a new beginning for you, that God is about to do new things for your family and for this community. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
I speak over your future for your families and ministries. Grace upon grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua, the next move towards inheritance was everything. It took years for Joshua's leadership style. Listen, young people. It took years for Joshua's leadership style to match the timing of the moment. I remember when I was first called into ministry. You know, Davey, I just wanted to be somebody. I had a problem with maybe some low self-esteem or whatever back in that day. And I just wanted God to really use me. I wanted to be recognized. I wanted to be accepted or whatever. But now I realize that it took years and years and years for God to mold us into what He needed us to be. And now when you get there where God's really using you, you realize I am nobody other than God. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about our acceptance. It's not about how we feel good about ourselves. We do need to have these kind of things. But you understand what I'm saying. The timing of what God is doing in our life is always setting us up for what's in our future. He'd been a good assistant for Moses. And Moses, you read it in Numbers where Moses came and commissioned him in the sight of the people. And verse 2 says, "Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them." Chapter 3 says that at this certain time of the year, the banks of the Jordan were overflowed. Joshua had no bridges, no boats, and yet he was believing that God had ordained them for such a time as this and that He would make a way. You know, how were they going to get across that river? 2 million people across the river. You're going to study it out in your near future. But the point is that God miraculously made a way for them to get across. You got to believe. Faith is the key. Faith is the key for God to get you where you're headed. Regardless of what our world system looks like. Regardless of what our government system looks like. That cannot be where our faith is at. Our faith has to be in God's higher purpose. Amen? He is always on the throne and in control. Look at verse 3. 3 through 5. "Every place and the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you." What a promise. What a promise, church. It's a good book. It's a good story of history. But listen to me. Today we are here to take this word and apply it into our own lives and to know that God is saying to us, "I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not let anything come before you." It's for us. That's not just a story we're trying to read out of the book of Joshua. It's for us. It's for our lives. It's for our futures. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Everybody say this with me. Say new territory.
New territory.
Say it again like you mean it. New territory.
New territory.
Hallelujah. You know what? I'm professing that today for my family. I'm professing that for our future. Hallelujah. I was just on the phone this morning with somebody in Uganda, Africa, and we're talking about what we're doing, and we are taking new territory for the kingdom of God. I don't know how we're going to do it other than trusting God, but we're going to take territory into these places where Christ has never been preached before, ever. People don't even know who Jesus Christ is. But we're taking that territory for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
God's promise to Joshua, 2 million people. It's not just about getting you close. It's about getting you in. Close enough is not good enough for God. He wants to take you in to new territory. He wants to take your family into new territory. He wants to bless marriages and homes and families and children and grandchildren. Come on, what territory is Yahweh promising you today in this place? Think about it.
Amen.
Think about it. Take a moment to think about it. God said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." I began to look that up. I thought that was powerful. The word before you, the two words before you in the Hebrew tie together. And it's the Hebrew word pronounced panim. And it means in the face of or in the pathway of, especially when it comes to battle, literally and figuratively. So what God was saying to Joshua is no one will be able to stand in the pathway of the purpose I have ordained you for. No one is going to be able to stop you and stand in your way, even when you're going into battle. How many know sometimes our battle can be spiritual?
Yes.
I believe Joshua is going through a spiritual battle right at this moment in his leadership role. The root of that word, panim, is panah, another Hebrew word, and it means to turn back or to turn away from. God was literally saying, none of the people on the other side of this river will stand before you or stop you or turn you away from what I have given to you. Can that be a word for us today? Can that be a word for your family and your marriages and your children and our community today? That no weapon formed against us can prosper? Come on, somebody. Can that be a word for us today? That nothing, we literally in the hands of God become unstoppable.
Amen.
Unstoppable. We can be slowed down, but we can't be stopped. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, God is with us. God is with us. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be able to carefully do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Lord.
Whew.
Thank you.
Listen, this is our part. First of all, when the Lord tells you something directly, it's important. When you feel like the Lord speaks to you from your inner voice, it's important that you listen. When God says it twice, it's worth your undivided attention. When God says it three times, you need to mark it down, because it is extremely valuable to your future. Be strong. Be courageous. As a matter of fact, in verse 18, the Bible said God said it again. So four times God came to Joshua and said, I need you to be strong and be courageous for what's ahead of you. For what's ahead of you. I feel like that's a word for the body of Christ today. I feel like that's a word for the church today. That no matter how we see our nation and the people and our culture and society being driven, I feel like that we need to be strong and courageous for the plan of God ahead of us. Hallelujah. President Franklin D. Roosevelt made this statement, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than the fear. What can we find today in our society that becomes more important than fear itself? It's not that we won't have fear going into our future. Going into the next year, not knowing where this election's going to go or how it turns out. But what is it to us that's more important than that? What is more important than the fear of what we don't know? Come on, church. That's where God wants you to tap into today. That's what God is needing for us to tap in. You know, I thought about this as I was praying over this and meditating on this word. Maybe Joshua was remembering the giants of the land that was spoken about in the book where Moses had sent out the spies and 10 came back and said they're giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And maybe Joshua was reminded of that. Maybe he was thinking about Jericho and how he could see the city on the other side, supposedly built with walls that were unbreakable, fortified walls that were huge around this big city that God said, I'm giving to you. The warriors of that city, the armor of the army of that city. But God keeps saying, be strong and courageous. Come on, somebody. Be strong and courageous. My family deserves me to be strong and courageous. My wife deserves me as the leader of our home, as the man of God of our house, to be strong and courageous. My grandchildren, I've got Hunter with me this morning, Hunter Elijah, named after the prophet. I've got him with us this morning, and my grandchildren deserve for Papa to be strong and courageous in these days. They need a leader that will show them how to follow God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you can be careful to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will prosper and be successful. For then, the book of the law. You know what? When we look at the law, a lot of times we think that the law is unrealistic. We read about the law, and I don't know how far back y'all have come from in study and everything, but when we think about the law of God, which is the first five books of the Bible, the Mosaic law, the Torah, some call it the Pentateuch, prophetic teaching, God's word becomes words that should never stop coming out of our mouth. According to what God had spoken to Joshua, prosperity and success depends on how much word is coming from your lips. Church, hear me today. Church, hear me. If you haven't heard anything else, I'm going to close into this segment here. God's word. One translation of this scripture says that God wanted them to recite the scripture day and night.
Amen.
Day and night. Anybody ever been to Jerusalem? Anybody? If you go to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, it's the only original wall of the temple that still stands. It's what we know as the prayer wall. I don't call it the wailing wall because I don't go to wail. But I have been there to pray, and I have prayers that are folded up into pieces of paper that every time we've been there, I stuck them into that wall and stood there against that wall and prayed. If you go right to the left of the Western Wall, there's this huge room. And when you go inside this room, actually it's supposedly where David's tomb is, inside that room. And inside that room, there are hundreds of rabbis that are sitting in chairs, and they have a Bible in their lap, and they are doing nothing except this and reciting the Word of God, speaking the Word of God over and over and over and over again. And when you're watching it, it looks a little bit realistic. But when you know what happens, especially with this scripture, when God said, if you recite the Word of God, your prosperity and your success is dependent upon it. Listen to me. Could it be that the reason why Israel cannot be conquered is because there are people, men and women of God, reciting the Word of God over that nation daily, day and night. Come on, somebody. Let not this book depart from your mouth. Hallelujah. Obedience is motivated by the promise of success. And when we release the powerful words of God from our lips and we're reciting the things that God has given us, not just out of the law, but the promises and the obedience to all of the things He says that we need to do to get to the promise. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, and don't be frightened, and don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, somebody. Let's give praise to God today for that promise. Don't be frightened in what you see. Don't be frightened by what you don't know. Don't be dismayed. The word dismayed literally means to be broken to the point of being shattered. God said, don't be dismayed for the things you don't know and the things that you see with your physical eye. But know this, I am with you wherever you go. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
He is the reason why we don't let these things get to us. He is the reason we don't fear and we don't fall apart. Because He has promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
I'll always be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can come up if you will. Thank you, Father. And all the battles that we have to go through, all the hardships that we go through, with God's direction and our obedience, God is always setting us up for victory. Victory literally means that we will conquer. Come on, church. I don't know if you realize this, but I've come to remind you today. We win this thing.
Amen.
We win this thing. We win this battle. It may not look like it, but listen, we're not in it to win the world system. We're in it to win for the kingdom of God. And our families and our children and our children's children, may they be blessed by the hand of God. Come on, somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Before Joshua ever gave his first order for them to cross over that Jordan River, he was listening to the Lord and being obedient to God. What are you hearing today? What is it you hear for your own life and for your family? Every one of us in this room represents someone really close to us. We represent families, we represent community, and I'm asking you today to think about it. What is it that you're hearing from God that can literally set you on a better path for your future? What do you feel? What is the unction that's coming from the Lord today? Father, I thank you that our faith is edified, our vision has been expanded, you have increased the influence of our lives by your word, by the spoken word in this room today, into our hearts and into our lives. God, we are ready to take the territories that you have promised to us in the upcoming seasons of our lives. Spirit of God, saturate our hearts in this very moment right now. Lord, just for the next couple of moments, I pray that you, by your Spirit, you will minister. Minister in this moment, God, I ask in Jesus' name, by your anointing, by your power. I'm not really going to ask for everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes, but I am going to ask this. I want to pray over you for a specific purpose that I was praying about with God to close this out. I believe that there's some people in this house today that have had promises that have been shattered. I believe there's people today that you've had a God-said word to you, where God spoke to you and you knew it was God. But somewhere along the way, that promise hasn't been fulfilled. And maybe it's been a dream that looks like it was shattered into 1,000 pieces. Everything seems to have just fallen apart around those promises. It's caught you in a place of being frightened, even maybe dismayed, where you kind of broke, you feel broken about it. Maybe it's family, maybe it's a marriage. Maybe you're confused today and you don't understand why this could happen in the middle of having promises from God. If I'm talking to you this morning, would you stand up to your feet right where you're at? If there's anybody in this house today and you feel like you've got a promise that God has given you that has fell apart at some point in time in your life, would you stand up to your feet right now? I'll pray with you right where you're at. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want you to pray. I see a hand going up. Is there anybody else today that you feel like I should be standing today, because you know what? I'm going to reclaim this territory. I'm going to reclaim this territory that God promised me. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? We'll wait on you. You're worth waiting on. Your family, your marriages, your children are worth waiting on. Your jobs, your success, the finances of our future, it's worth waiting on. Is there anybody else? Feel the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. While these are standing, I give one more invitation. I want everyone in this room to experience what it's like to have kingdom living. Jesus said, I come to give the best of life that it can offer. And if you're in this room and you don't know what it is to be a part of the family of God, you've never given your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ, then you really don't understand what it's like to live in kingdom living. But if you're here today, anybody in this house, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to pray a prayer, and I want to accept Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior of my life, to forgive me of my sins. If there's anybody in this house that matches that, I want you to go ahead and stand up with us today. Is there anybody? Is there anybody that has never accepted Jesus Christ? I give you a moment. Amen. All right. Let me pray over you today, and then we're going to worship the Lord for just a moment and move into our time of communion. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this time. Those of you who are standing today, and even if you're not standing, but you know that there are some things in your life that you would like to receive from this word today, why don't you just hold your hands out like this, just as a reference to the Lord that we receive. Spiritually, we're receiving from the Lord today. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you have ordained me and put me in this place for this moment in time. Because of the anointing that you have ministered through us this morning, that is still flowing, still moving by your Holy Spirit, I pray over every one of these that are standing, Lord God, for renewed promises, renewed territories, that whatever the enemy brought against them to try to steal it away, God, we have heard through your word today that nothing can stop what you have intended for us. Even though it looks like, God, that the enemy has and the world system can somehow seem to take away what you had given, we now understand, Lord God, that nothing is gone. It may have been inactive, but today we activate it again in our lives in the name of Jesus. And I pray over every one of these that are standing, Lord God, that the first step that they take from this very moment will be a step over the threshold, walking out of the past and into their new, walking into the very promises that you have ordained for them and called them to, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I release that over them, Father God. And I'll be excited to hear the testimonies of their stories of the things that you are about to do in their lives and in their futures, in the name of Jesus Christ. And someone say a big amen.